Good afternoon, fam. My name is Sylvester. I'm definitely blessed with the gift of recovery. And I want to thank this area for asking me to come and share my experience, Dripping Hope. I am truly grateful to be here, at this convention. I think it's a pleasure and an honor when somebody asks you to come and do anything, because I can remember when nobody wouldn't ask you to come and do nothing, but get out the way, you know. But I thank God for that process. I'm here to share on the topic, selling for sex when I'm really looking for love. Now, before I get into that, I just want to get some preliminaries out the way to let you know that I definitely qualify for this topic. Make no mistake about it. And when I say that I qualify, I'm not only going to tap into the sex piece, because that's not what's important. You have to listen at the topic. Now, what probably got all of us here together on this topic is because we heard the word sex. And what's that attached to is a fractured personality. Right? But what you're missing is the key word in there that says settle. And that's what I want to deal with, right, on this topic. Because there's a question, awesome questions, that I have to ask myself. Sylvester, what is it, man, that lies so deep down on the inside of you that will allow you to visit the gift of recovery? Know that this is where you want to be. Know what the other side going to bring you, but go anyway. What is it that lies so deep down on the inside that will allow me to make big boy moves on little boy character, but can't accept the consequences on the moves that I make? What is it that's on the inside that will allow me to settle for anything that goes against the will of my recovery process? What is it that lies so deep down on the inside? Well, it's the inability to accept myself on a deeper level because of fear, insecurity, low self-esteem that is controlled by codependency, that is housed with fear. The inability to step back and to see how worthy I am to be able to love myself in order to be with somebody else. So I'm not even going to talk about being with nobody else until I set the stage and make it comfortable that I qualify. Because a lot of times it's a terrible thing to wake up in the morning and recognize you've been sleeping with the enemy. But realize that he's been there all the time. It wasn't until I was willing to uncover, to discover, why there was a need to recover. Because there was a transformation that I had to go through in order to understand who I was and opposed to who I wanted to be. And you can't have, Sylvester, a wholesome relationship with nobody until you're willing to tell self the truth about who you're not. You understand? Because when I got here the first time in 86, I was able to stay here for almost about 9 years. I made a conscious decision to go back and use again. It took me 3 years to get back, wanting to come back sooner. But because of the shame and guilt that wasn't dealt with the first time, would have me at a park bench, eating out the trash can. Don't miss this. With knowledge of the program. So what can I say? That says that you can talk the book, but if you don't get in touch with the content of the principles will not come alive. And you will never be able to experience the fruits of the benefit of this program has to offer. So you will do like I did. You will hobble over your time. Because there's a difference in telling the truth and getting honest. And a lot of times we come up here and we graphically share about what I've done. How I smell the panties. How I hid up under the bed. How I tree boxing. Did all that. You'll get a whole lot of claps on that. But when I begin to go in the dungeon and tell you what happened on the other side and how I got there and get quiet. Why? Because I'm more about being entertained about what the feeling did than to get free from the feeling. Because when you get to the sixth step said that this is the defect that frees us from getting comfortable with the defect. So that means that when I end up at the sixth step, I got to end up at the sixth step healing, not spiritual. Sixth step said this is the defect that spoils us from getting free from the defect. I'm in love with bodyguards. Yeah, you know, bodyguards. I'm in love with bodyguards. You know, I just love how you make me feel. I don't love you, I love how you make me feel. Yeah, they told me when I came in, don't mess with the newcomer. I ain't do that. I got the older members. Yeah, I was knocking down the older members. Yeah, the ones that had way more time than I had. And I couldn't understand why they was catching feelings and I wasn't. Yeah, so when we come in here, we got to be willing to get honest because the disease of addiction doesn't care anything about your time. I thank God for my process and I praise Him for the pain. But pain is discomfort created by disorder through disobedience. My inability to see the manifestation of where the pain is being elevated through the unseen part of not doing a thorough fourth step. We talk a fourth step, but this ain't, see, you gotta know the difference in sharing a fourth step. The fourth step says that we're gonna sort through the confusion and the contradiction that was made up. So I had to find out some stuff. Sylvester, what happened to you? Why is it, man, that you fall in love hard but fear commitment? Yeah, what is it that will allow you to go shopping to dress up the outside? To think you can match what's on the outside with a word called commitment when it's an action word done in private. Yeah. Yeah, when you're at home, why is it that you would rather have sex than to communicate? Uh-huh. Let's talk through the... No. We're here to talk about, you know, selling for sex when I really want love. And I can't tap into the love until we understand that the sex is not the problem. It's not the sex. All of us in here got the freak in us and it ain't going nowhere. But it must be managed. Yeah, so you can sit here and tell me, well, I'm just absent and I don't want nobody. You lying. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta tell self the truth. You gotta be willing to tell self the truth when you confront it with the right question. The problem is that I wanna sit with self because I keep picking the wrong stuff. Yeah, I keep picking the wrong stuff. I keep taking a confused mind into another confused mind. And then I end up with a ball of confusion. And I don't think that it's confusion when both of us just look good on the outside, but we still shaky and insecure on the inside. Ain't nobody talking about nothing. You mad, I'm mad, and we walk around like everything all right. Intimidated by my own pain. because I'm the kind of guy that likes to eat the dessert before the full course meal. See, the full course meal got all the right preservatives in it. It's got all the right ingredients in it. So I don't want the full course meal, I want the dessert. Because the dessert is sweet. You know what I'm saying? It sticks to you. It's just, yo, okay. Yeah, it camouflages the feeling. But it don't give me no relief when I'm by myself. I don't mean to mess around on you. I don't really mean to harm you. But if I'm fractured and you fractured and we keep telling each other lies about how we love each other when we don't even know what love means. Because there's a difference between love and lust. And when we talk about lust, at the first place our mind goes is to sex. But I'm here to tell you that that's the lowest thing on the totem pole. Because if you know anything about lust, the root word of lust is selfishness. And self-centeredness is the thing that is attached to it. So if I'm full of me and you're full of you. Oh, you don't believe me? Watch this. It talks about in the living clean, the journey continues. How two sick people, watch what it says, let me read it. Watch what it means. Page 93, living clean. Page 93, y'all heard of living clean. This is what it says. Become in recovery lonely, horny, and insecure. That's how we come in. But my time would tell me, you mature. Just handle it. You're all right. It's a process. You know, all the sick stuff. You know what I'm saying? But what I don't understand is that my eighth step is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because the more I hurt, the more I got to come back and undo the hurt. Right? So listen to what it says. It says, we come in recovery lonely and horny and insecure. We are emotionally raw. Emotionally raw, and our judgment is still pretty impaired. We run head on into relationships only to discover how challenging they are. Two sick people relying make up a welcome. Now, what is it talking about? It's describing me being in a dysfunctional relationship. Now, what I need to do is first get in touch with the feeling. Now, for the newcomer that's here, let me explain something to you. If you here and you don't stop using and you waiting to get in touch with the first step, you don't probably miss the first step, because my first step was unfolded when I was using. Oh, okay. All right. Buy the CD. Just get the CD. You know what I'm saying? After you do step work. You know what I'm saying? I found out that the pain that I was in, right? The degradation of the pain that I was in was with me. My life got worse after I stopped using. Because the same way it hurt out there, the same way it began to hurt in here. When I had to come in a meeting and see 1, 2, 3, 4 open. Let me say it again. 1, 2, 3, 4 open. Unhealthy relationships and all of them sitting there. And all of them got way more time than I got. Yeah. So it ain't the newcomer, and see, and a lot of times we don't want to upgrade the inability of who we are based on our fractured personality. And I'm sitting in there and I'm hurting because it no longer began to feel good. it began to hurt. And my sponsor said, well, it's time to go in. I went to a dance. Never forget this. I was at a dance. That's why I had to stop going, because every time I go, I couldn't leave by myself. I made promises and all that. You know what I'm saying? Called the sponsor, did all that. You know what I'm saying? But it just wouldn't happen. You know, it just wouldn't happen. Every time I left, I had somebody with me. Then he asked me a question. He said, well, who was that you was with the other night? I said, her name is Jane. Jane who? I don't know. Because commitment deals with details. See, commitment deals with details. A feeling only deals with what's seen. You know what I'm saying? Big butts and no brains. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Love it. Love it. Knock it down. You know, do my thing. Yes, sir. But my sponsor asked me a question. He said, what happened to you? And if ever you're going to be able to address why you settled, there's some questions that have to be addressed. And the first one where he asked me is, what happened? And what happened was, at the age of 9, 10, I grew up Washington, D.C., went to Harrison Elementary. And my mother could not afford all of the nice clothes and all of the brand name stuff. And so what ended up happening was that I was clean going to school. And you know, my mama couldn't afford all of the brand name shoes and all that kind of stuff. So I had all colors of the Safeway tennis shoes. The ones that's slippery when it ain't no rain. No. I got to set it up here because I got to show you where the feeling started. I got to show you how deep-rooted the pain is and that a human power can't relieve it. She said, you know, 9, 10 years old. And I go to school and the kids, they teasing me. And I don't know how to process the feeling. And dope is not in nowhere the proximity. And she said, I had to find a way. So I snuck in my mother's bedroom. And I went in there and I went and snuck in the bed in my mother's bedroom and took some money out of my mother's pocketbook. And I would, you know, go to the store. We had these little house stores back then. And I would go and I would stop by the house stores and I would get these candies called Now Laters. And I would go to school and the kids would see me coming and it made me feel inferior because they were no longer worried about what I had on. So I'm talking about being inferior at a young age. But, you know, I went to the cookie jar one too many times. And when I got to the school with the candy, I didn't get a chance to pass that. The principal was waiting on me. He said, I want to see you in my office. Back then, they had the big brown phones with the big red light on it blinking to let you know that somebody on the other end. And he picked the phone up, and then the phone hung back down, and it didn't take my mother long to get from the house to the school. So when my mother got to the school, she said, I'm going to ask you a question. She said, did you take my money? It wasn't me. She said, I'm going to ask you again. Did you take my money? Mom, it wasn't me. She said, before I take your stairs in front of your classroom mates and pull your pants down and spank your behind, I'm going to ask you again, did you take my money? Mom, it wasn't me. My mother grabbed the paddle because back then the teachers could chastise the kids. The paddle with the long rubber band and the hose coming out of it. you would think that the power would motivate something. And she grabbed the power and she said, I'm going to ask you again. Did you take my money? Mom, it wasn't me. My mother took me up in my front of the, took me upstairs in front of my classroom mates, and she opened the door. And just like everybody sitting here, she said, I'm going to ask you for the very last time. She had the powder in one hand and the shoe in the other. And she said, I'm going to ask you for the very last time. Did you take my money? Mom, I swear for God, it wasn't me. And my mother began to cry. And the day I understand where the tears was coming from, she really didn't want to whoop me. All she wanted me to do was tell the truth. And we got a disease that don't want to be exposed through truth. So we hold on our pain to make us believe that we're in the midst of a process that hasn't even been revealed yet. Because I can't get honest with who I'm not, opposed to who I want to be. So I make big boy moves trying to impress you, to make you think, because I can intellectualize the book, that I'm working with a spiritual principle that hasn't been implemented in my character. So I become prone to only go in the meetings where they're only talking about dirt, but not the process out of the dirt. And my mom, and at the age, and my sponsor asked me, he says, the next question, why are you afraid of commitment? What happened to you? Well, the saga didn't stop. It began to progress. Because we're talking about not only dysfunctional family, but being trapped only in what was able to be given at that time. I'm not blaming nobody. I've done enough work and is doing work on myself to realize that what happened to me, I don't blame any of my siblings, because I realized a long time ago that they was just as sick as I was. You understand? It just took me to get to a program to understand that at some point I was no longer a victim. I had become a volunteer a long time ago. So he said, what happened? And I begin to look. And my sponsor said, what happened to you, man? And I say, it sounded like this when I would come home. Get in there and clean the bathroom up. And when I went in there to clean the bathroom up, the lights would go out. And when the lights went out, I was practicing sex acts that I did not like. So I went from not liking it to loving it. And when I got to loving it and went to go get it, wasn't nobody there. So now we're talking about abandonment and trust. So if you want to look at why you settled, you got to look at what happened to you when you got abandoned. And see, here's the thing. You can go through the program and dress up yourself and get year after year, celebrate year after year. But if that leakage on the inside never get addressed, then you will grow up and you will get bigger and don't get better, but stay bitter. And then wonder why that the inside of my process is not getting better, and I wonder why I keep picking unhealthy people, or why I keep accepting unhealthy people. It's because I'm not healthy myself. So once I came out of the blaming game, I was able to understand that in that process, in that third step decision that I made to get better, I went into the fourth step and I began to sort through the contradiction and the confusion. Right? Yeah. Because my emotion tears me out of the frame when you want to leave. You understand what I'm saying? And it took me back to my first girlfriend, who when I ended up one day
and, you know, end up over her house, and I wasn't, you know, she didn't know I was coming, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm one of them guys, let me just be honest, I'm one of them guys that fall in love hard. Right? And I'm a prove to you what's missing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I didn't understand, but then I had to look at what kind of woman I was choosing. I was always choosing women that was older than me. What is all that about? What's all that about? Looking for mama. I'm looking for mama. And I would dare say that there's somebody sitting in here with a woman who you call your woman, but she impersonating your mama. Because the reality of the pain is that if I don't get to the exact nature of who I am, I'll keep choosing something repetitiously over and over and over again, and won't nothing get done. And he said, what happened? And I went through that process, and I showed up on my first girlfriend's house, and I said, is a lady in the house? He said, yeah, she and they're going upstairs. I went up there, and before I got there, I heard the noise. Y'all will sit here, like, you don't know what the noise is. Huh? Okay, it's fine. Yeah. I heard the noise. Pleasure noise. Yeah, I don't want to get graphic, but I heard the noise. And that wasn't enough to let me know that something was wrong. And I went up there, and I opened the door, and there she was, and he was on top of her, and she said, shut the door. And I said, okay. Throw out the frame at a young age. So in order for me to get healthy, can I read something to you? It says, on the contrary, it is remarkable common among addicts finding the words and a safe place to say to them that can be the difference between being able to live with ourselves and spending our lives on the run of our pains. Why would I settle to celebrate year after year and I'm still on the run? I'm still a fugitive of my own pain. Right? It done become full blown now. Because what I'm lacking is a working relationship with God of my understanding. Until I'm willing to build that relationship with the God of my understanding, I'm here to let you know. When you look up the word selling, it means to settle a dispute between two people. And just so happened, I happen to be both people. And until I'm willing to get honest with self and realizing that I've been hula hooping with barbed wire all my life, cutting myself in and out, telling myself I'm feeling good. But it wasn't until I began to clean up the wreckage of the past and I began to understand, after I begin to heal, after I begin to go through the process, after I begin to set up and understand that I didn't know nothing about commitment, and after I begin to get honest with self, after I begin to identify some issues in my character, I begin to walk free on the inside. I begin to understand that I would no longer settle not only to hurt somebody else, but to hurt myself. And how did I get there? I got there because here's the thing that we don't understand. With each step, there is a spiritual principle that comes with each step. If there's no humility in seven, more forgiveness in eight. And no self-discipline in nine. Don't even look to be an instrument in 11. Because I got to clean up the wreckage. And it wasn't until I got four sisters. I'm the baby of the family. I was born around all women. And one day, I'm just telling you, sharing my own experience in Scripture. You may be thinking you're feeling good now, don't nobody know it, all that kind of stuff. But there's a thing that's called one day. One day we all get a turn. That one day I got to be confronted with that one day when I got to step back and look in the eyes of those who I've hurt. And I understand that once I get that level of forgiveness, I got to understand what the ninth step really means. Because we got a whole lot of people walking around apologizing but not making amends. And I know that amends means a deep-seated change, not just a verbal conversation. Repetitiously doing the same thing over and over and over again. And in closing, one of the things that my higher power showed me in the midst of the struggle, because in the literature, if you go back and read it in the Living Clean, it's going to talk about how healing takes time. And in the midst of that healing taking time, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what humility was all about. It wasn't until my higher power made me play my tape back in my story. He said, I need to show you what humility looks like in action. I need a physical demonstration of what humility really looks like. And he took me back in my story, you know, when you was, you know, in the crack house trying to orchestrate. He can come in, he can't come in, no, don't let her in, you know. He said, don't play the tape back to that. Don't play the tape when you were sitting at the head of the table. Play the tape back when you was at the end of the table and all you got, and the dope boys told you, don't come back no more with short money. And you walking around with $17 in change, and your walk partner is shame and guilt going to cop. And the dope boy told you, don't come back no more with short money. And then I get up there to the dope boys and it go like this. You know, I know y'all told me not to come back. But if you let me go this time, I promise I'll be back. You know, if you let me go this time. And my higher power says, and that's the right idea. The same humility that you had to ask them to help kill you, now ask me to help you live past sin. Humility in action. It's not until I heal from the scoop, from the wounds and the scars, that I would begin to understand how healthy I wasn't opposed to how healthy I am. And then I would sit still, not make the moves on my own, be healthy and available. When God sent it, I'll recognize it and don't have to work that hard to try to get it. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes you attract what you are, then you get mad about what you pick. That means that your pain is still unsettled. That means that the dispute is still going on between you and your spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Because if your spirit is cluttered, you'll never be able to cross over on the other side. And I'm going to leave you with this. You only have a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon you. You didn't choose it. You can't refuse it. It's up to you to use it. You will suffer if you lose it. Give an account if you abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. Because eternity is in it. And with that, I'm going to keep coming.